And good morning, everybody. So let's continue in prayer. And Father, we just thank you so much that you are within us, that there's every hope in the world because we have so much to look forward to. And we want to keep our eyes fixed on your Son as you want us to, and to stay close to you and to build that relationship with you that will last for eternity. And so we just ask you to be here and to continue to guide us and to lead us and change our hearts and give us your heart so that we can be fulfilling your will with the Holy Spirit, that priceless gift you gave us just a little under 2,000 years ago, I think it is. And so we just ask your blessing on our relationship with you so that we will not get distracted and sidetracked and preoccupied and not fulfill what you want us to be doing while we're here preparing the way for your kingdom. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we all know that this is a very special day today, and we are here to celebrate this priceless gift. And let's take a look at it because it's recorded here in the book of John, chapter 7. And there's a lot more to these verses that I've read many times, but until you dissect it and look at it intensely, it makes a big difference. But it says in verse 37, on the last and greatest day of the feast, and this is when they were all gathered together for the Feast of Tabernacles, and we call it the last great day. This was before Christ was crucified, so that the new covenant replaced the old covenant. But he said, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if a man is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. We'll find out a lot more about that today. And whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within him. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Very interesting. And so today we are gathering together to celebrate Pentecost and celebrating the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is God's own life poured out on his people. And sometimes Pentecost is called the birthday of the church. It's all recorded in Acts chapter 2. So if there's anything that we want to learn about Pentecost, it's right smack dab here in Acts chapter 2, because let's take a look at it and we'll read this so that we get the whole picture of what was happening on this day. Acts 2 verse 1 says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, kind of like we are here, except that people, well, they were, we'll see in the very last verse that it's very important that we all be together. And they were devoted to the fellowship. And that's so very important for us to be here together. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that appeared on their shoulders. Each of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, what in the world was that all about? Why would this happen? You see, this was a spectacular event to let everybody know that what God was giving to us was God is living within us. The Holy Spirit is God. We didn't know that years ago. We always thought the Holy Spirit was kind of like electricity. I remember talking about that. The Father, Son, and the Spirit are a trinity. They are all together. They're one. They work together. The Holy Spirit is the one that inspired the scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one that spoke through the prophets so that they knew what to write. Otherwise, the prophets couldn't write anything that would be inspired, except that the Holy Spirit spoke through them. That's God was the one who wrote that, because all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And God is the one who was living in the apostles and those who wrote the scriptures all down through the ages. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine what that would have been like? That all of us and everybody's together. Well, let's read it. When you read the rest of this here, it's just shocking. It says, now, verse 5, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. You know, God can do anything. All of a sudden, you hear a different language and you understand it. That takes a miracle. And listen to all the different languages that were declassified or able to be understood. Are not these men utterly amazed who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamians, Judeans, Cappadocians, those from Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya near Cyrene. I mean, God must have been really busy translating all this instantaneously. But God can do anything, and nothing's big for God because he can just speak it and it's done. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language or tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, what does this mean? Some, however, made fun of them and said, they've been drinking too much. Sometimes we find people that are a little bit sarcastic and critical and so on, but God still loves them. They're just hurting themselves and the people that might believe in them. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who are in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I'm going to tell you. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. They haven't even had time to get drunk yet, unless they were drinking all night. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. It's one of the minor prophets. Verse 17, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. It's going to become a new covenant where we can begin to have God not only with us, because God was not in them back then. He was with them, but he's now going to be in us. We are privileged with the gift of the Holy Spirit to have God in us. Notice what he says. I will pour out my spirit on all people, all different languages and so on. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Now, before we jump to the conclusion and think that they're out there saying, well, this is going to happen next week and this is going to happen. That's not the kind of prophesying it's talking about. It's talking about speaking under the inspiration of God. We speak your will be done, what God's word is, rather than what we want God to do. And we forecast it. If anybody tries that sort of thing, what generally happens is like the weather forecasts. You know how that works. Sometimes it's close, but a lot of times it's completely different. But your young men will see visions and your old man will dream dreams. Now, a lot of times, how many of you are dreamers? Do you dream a lot? Yeah, me too. I dream a lot. I dreamt last night 3 or 4 times. You know, we need to be careful, though, and make sure that we don't interpret these dreams in some other way. But we can, if it coincides with the word of God, go for it. You know, if God is telling you, you need to get your act together and do this, that, or the other thing, say, thank you, God, for putting that thought in my mind. But we should not interpret dreams on our own. Even on my servants, both men and women. So the new covenant changed dramatically because men and women were gifted with this privilege of understanding and having God speak through them. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will speak under inspiration or prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoke and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness, and he's talking about the book of Revelation in the time just before Jesus Christ returns, and all you know what is going to break loose, the worst time in all of human history according to Matthew 24. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. So it shows that God is very kind and full of grace because he just wants people to believe. He says, believe on, you don't have to pay anything. You don't have to, God says, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. When you believe, he says, it's not of works. By faith you are saved. It is a gift of God, and that's why we just need to thank God. And then when we receive that gift of the Holy Spirit and the gift of God living in us, then we will do everything we can to glorify God and to promote the work of God, because that is what God is interested in. He says, I, that's God. I will build my church. And he wants us to be his body, helping to do that process and to join in the phenomenal work he is doing. Then verse 22, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth is a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God, set purpose and foreknowledge. So God knew even before Adam and Eve were created that Jesus was going to die. He knew that this man was going to sin. He put Satan in the Garden of Eden. I mean, Satan couldn't get in there without God saying, you're welcome. God always does things quite differently than what we think. Anytime we think we know what God's going to be doing, think twice. Because God always has better thoughts. He says his thoughts are higher than the heavens above our thoughts. So don't underestimate what God can do. And sometimes he waits till the last minute. Because he wants us to grow in faith and perseverance and patience and all the fruits of the Spirit. And with the help of wicked men, they put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And David said this about him. This was prophesied way back under King David. I saw the Lord always before me. And we should be able to say the same thing. I see the Lord always before me. We need to see God working in our lives, thanking him for everything, praising him, worshiping him, so that we are praying without ceasing. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. So you know he's right there. He's with them when you're in the right hand. And we'll see in John chapter 7 that he says something else that's even greater than what David knew about. Therefore, verse 26, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. And this comes right out of Psalm 16, 8 through 11. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. Now, most people think everybody, when they die, they just go to heaven. And they're floating around up there, and maybe, I don't know, have wings, whatever they think. But God says something else here. If David isn't in heaven, I wonder about all the other people that they think are up there in heaven. We know their spirit returns to God who gave it, according to the book of Ecclesiastes. But their body, and you need a body to be able to have that spirit working in you. And God has come to come back and give us a spirit body, which is going to be phenomenal. But he goes on to say, but he was a prophet and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on the throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay, because he was 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. And so that's priceless to understand that we have nothing to worry about. We're going to reign with Christ. We'll be along with David and so on. And there's numerous scriptures that show that. John 3:13 is one. I won't take the time to turn there. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and Hebrews 11:39 through 40. Each of those scriptures show very clearly that God has a plan that is far different from what most people think. And it's priceless. That we have God living within us, empowering us to do the impossible. So, verse 36, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, because the Jews were the ones responsible. They wanted, because they didn't believe he was truly the Son of God, and they didn't like the fact that everybody was following him and they weren't coming to the synagogue to pay their tithes. He goes on to say, has made him both Lord and Christ. And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what are we going to do?" Peter replied, and here's the instructions for every one of us, and that is how we receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Repent, that means turn around and go the other direction. Instead of going into the way of the world, you go in the way of the kingdom. Seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And be baptized, that means burying your old way of life and coming up to a whole new life of being born again, born of the Spirit. Every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children. Nice to know. God doesn't lie. He's got a plan for our kids. He's got a plan for you and for all mankind. If you read Romans 11, it says he wants every human being to be saved. That's his desire. But he's not going to force it. He's going to let people make a choice. And for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. So that's what this day is all about. It's about receiving this gift of the Holy Spirit, which is God living within us. So now, what does he say here in verse 40? With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, because it's so easy to be distracted. My favorite activity is getting distracted. When somebody calls, I love it. I love distractions. But you got to be careful, because before you know it, you're out of control. And you got to be very careful. And that's why he says, he warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Because before you know it, you'll be all caught up in one thing or another that is not the will of God. It's our own personal will. And it's usually based on pride, vanity, lust, or greed, and so on. And those are the things that are automatic with human nature. And that's why he was warning them and pleading with them to ask Jesus to live in them. Because now that it's available, you have to ask. God says, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find in the Word of God. The Holy Spirit wrote the Word of God. And if you're not reading the Word of God, the Holy Spirit isn't going to be working in you like it would be otherwise. And they devoted them, it says, listen to this. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number in that day. Now, we had a baptism. I remember we had five baptisms in the Santa Clara County Jail. And we had five baptisms, I remember, in one time. Can you imagine 3,000 people being baptized? That shows the power of the Holy Spirit. And what we need to do is be praying that God will draw others. Because what God has given to us is good news. And a lot of times we keep it to ourselves instead of sharing maybe the stories of how God has intervened in our lives without trying to force it down anybody's throat, but just out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And if we're really grateful, we're going to be sharing our stories of what blessings God has provided, because they all come from God. We might want to take credit for it, but when we do that, then that was all the credit you get. But when you give God the glory, then he doubles down and gives you tenfold. And notice what it says. They devoted themselves to these four things. And this is what we need to be doing as well, because the New Testament church began and they were devoted. Now, what is the word devoted? Anybody know what the word devoted means? What's another definition for the word devoted? Committed? That's right. Total commitment. That's right. And these brethren, like we are gathered to be the same as our gathering together right here. They were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's the word of God. That's what Jesus wrote, and the apostles were teaching this under the new covenant. That's why we have a new testament or a new covenant, because Jesus came to make the law so that it's being done by God within us, doing the work. And when he does it perfectly. We can't, but he does the work perfectly. And they were devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship. We need to be devoted to the fellowship. When you think about that, take maybe a half an hour sometime and just meditate on that meaning. What does it mean to be devoted to the fellowship? It'll change your life dramatically. Just take the time, meditate, because God wants us to meditate. and to the breaking of bread, when we participate in the breaking of the bread, the taking of the communion. What is that all about? How can you be devoted to that? Well, when you understand by the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's talking about our taking the Holy Spirit, taking God in us. It represents the blood of Jesus Christ, which is the wine, and the bread represents his broken body. And it's coming to show appreciation to God for what he gives to us by living in us, because the Holy Spirit lives in us, and Jesus lives in us through the Holy Spirit, and the Father lives in us through Jesus, because he said, the Father who is in me, he does the works. So they were devoted to a relationship with God, is what that's telling us. And finally, the last shall be first, they were devoted to prayer. Prayer is, again, a relationship with God, where we walk with God, we talk with God, like Enoch, Elijah, and David, and Daniel, and all the New Testament apostles, and so forth. It's priceless to understand what's going on and why these things are able to be done. Now, this is the part that really nails it. Everyone was filled with awe. This is praise. God said the number one command in the Bible is what? Have awe for God. Fear God. Fear is translated awe, where you just say, God, you are awesome, just beyond comprehension. And when we have this motivation to let God know that we trust him and we know he is awesome, and we don't have anything to fear because he's in total control, because he's the one within us that's doing the work. Then it says, everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. And we've discussed that in previous sermons about all the different kinds of miracles that God has done in and through each one of us. And if you think about it, you just meditate and just say, God, help bring to my memory the things that you have done for me that was no question that you were the one doing the works. It was miraculous. When you're praying for somebody else and then how God answers that prayer and does something that you say, wow, that is miraculous, because that never could have happened without you answering that prayer, God. And so all the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. In other words, they were so committed, they realized materialism is not what it's about. It's about relationship. And that's what God wants us to see. They gave to anyone as he has needs every day. They continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. It just shows how important this relationship that we have with God and with one another is. Priceless beyond words. And don't take it for granted, because we are preparing to be the bride of Christ, who is going to be married to the creator of the universe. And right now, he wants us to be devoted to our head, who's Jesus, to walk with him and to talk with him and to say, God, what do you want me to do today? How do you want me to do it? Give me your attitude. Open my eyes so that I may see exactly what you want me to be doing. And God will lead you and guide you, because that's what he says and he commands. Praising, verse 47, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. And so that's why prayer is such a critical part of our relationship with God, so that we are praying and building a relationship that will last for eternity. And so, as we see in this day, it was marked by powerful images. God wanted everybody to know that this was a major occurrence, when all of a sudden this gigantic wind came rushing through the house, tongues of fire resting on, when was the last time you saw tongues of fire on everybody's shoulders? But God did that just to let everybody know our God is a consuming fire, and he's giving us a taste of that consuming fire. If you read the book of Revelation chapter 1, you'll see that it shows a picture of Jesus where he has this long white robe and so forth, and his whole face is on fire. And our God is truly a consuming fire, and I'm sure many of that is symbolic. We don't know. When we see him, that'll all come to life. But the main thing is we just need to realize God can do anything, and he is living in us, not with us. He's in us. is a major difference there, as we will see as we go on. So when Jesus says what he did in this scripture, he says, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. He was speaking about something that had not happened yet, because it had to happen on the day of Pentecost. And notice what it says in John 14, verse 17. He says, the Holy Spirit is with you, but it shall be in you. John chapter 14, verse 17. You can look that up on your own if you want. But it just shows you that there's a difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. And under the new covenant, after Jesus went back to the Father, that was Ascension Day. That was what the sermon was about last week, is about Ascension Day, when Jesus was ascending up after he had spent 40 days with the disciples after his resurrection. And 40 is God's number of trial and testing and so forth, where he was preparing them to go and make disciples of all nations and so on. And then he said this Holy Spirit will come 10 days later on Pentecost, which is count 50. Pentecost means count 50. And 50 days from the resurrection of Jesus Christ to the day of Pentecost is when the Holy Spirit was poured out on everybody there, as we read in Acts chapter 2. Now, just noticing again verse 37 in that scripture of John chapter 7, when this was spoken and Jesus was telling them what was going to happen on the day of Pentecost, when it was going to come after his resurrection, this was at the last great day of the Feast of Tabernacles, because the Feast of Tabernacles symbolizes and it pictures the time when we're going to be with him for eternity, 1,000 years, when Christ comes back and his king, he will be king over all the earth, as we read in Revelation. And that's when Jesus was standing there crying out, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. And so this is a dramatic moment where Jesus does not quietly teach his disciples privately like he was doing, but everybody was gathered from every nation all over the world, and they came in, and all of a sudden, Jesus spoke to all of them there and told them this scripture that we're reading here as our main scripture, verses 37 through. He cried out, let anyone who is thirsty come to me. And so these people were doing all sorts of things, celebrating and having a good time and so on. In the middle of all this fun, because how many of you have been to what we used to celebrate, the Feast of Tabernacles, under the lot of us and so on? Those were the days. But it was a time of celebration and so on. And Jesus spoke during the Feast of Tabernacles on the last great day, the great day that's called the last great day at the eighth day of the Feast of Tabernacles. And they all gathered together, and Jesus spoke this word, but he was actually speaking more about a different kind of thirst, not drinking water, because he's speaking about the thirst of the human heart, because this is what everybody's looking for. They're looking for somebody to love them, to care about them. They're looking for a purpose, because a lot of times people just, what is my purpose? Is it to play pickleball for the rest of my life? Is that what it is all about? They're looking for hope because they don't have any hope. They think, oh man, everything's going to you-know-what in a handbasket, and I just feel like some people don't even want to live. I hear more and more of that than ever before, where people are considering, I just talked to somebody, one of the teenagers wants to commit suicide, keeps bringing it up. It's so sad at a young age where you don't even want to live anymore. But it just shows you why this world needs to go, because Satan has deceived the whole world. And if there's anything Satan wants to do is to have somebody commit suicide, because that's one more human out of the way, he thinks. But that's not really the case, because God has another plan that he doesn't have control over. But God wants us to be paying attention to the brokenness that is around us, and because people are longing for a better world, and we have the good news. We need to be praying, thy kingdom come, and also praying that God will use us to bring that happiness and joy and peace to people so that they know that there is hope on the horizon. Interestingly enough, during the Feast of Tabernacles, during those 7 days, the high priest in the temple would take water out of a pool, and they would walk in to the Holy of Holies, or the altar, I guess that was in the holy place. And they would pour water over the altar symbolizing out of the innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. The Israelites always knew that something spectacular was going to be coming ahead because they were reminded of the water coming out of the rock when they were under Moses in the wilderness and they were thirsty and like crazy and needed something to drink and God gave water out of a rock. But then he said in Psalms, it also mentions that there's going to be another kind of thirst that's going to be resolved when Jesus Christ comes, and that's the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what they were waiting for. They didn't know exactly how that was going to be manifested, but then on the day of Pentecost, there was no doubt. And so another chapter that I would like to go through, but I'll let you read that on your own. Read John chapter 1, especially the first 34 verses, because John 1, it shows who God really is. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. Without him was not anything made. So we know that Jesus Christ, who was the Word, was God himself. And a lot of people don't believe that Jesus was God, but he is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all one. And it says, anyone who wants to drink of this water has access to it. Anybody. That's why we give Bibles away. All you got to do is open the Bible and you have living water available to you. And so we should not say, well, you know, unless you believe enough, you're not going to have access to the living water. God can give it to anybody. All they got to do is open the Bible. Encourage them to read the book of John or read just about any place, but especially the New Testament and the words of Jesus and the book of Romans. Every one of the New Testament is just filled with encouragement and hope and will satisfy that thirst. But drinking is an act of trust, though. When you drink of this water, not everybody is going to drink of it. You can give them a Bible, but they didn't even bother to open it. If they don't drink of it, they can't receive it. They have to be willing to drink of it. Just like when you have to be able to trust that the brakes are going to work. If you think the brakes aren't going to work, you aren't going to drive the car. And so it's really important to make sure that we don't tell anybody that they don't believe enough, because all you got to do is ask. You don't have to be perfect, because there's none righteous, no, not even one. So it's just a matter of they've got to be willing to read and pray. Ask, seek, and knock. Knock on the door. Ask Jesus. He can open your eyes and all of a sudden say, I never saw that before. That's what we experience all the time. You can tell people, when I read the scriptures, I have read them for 50 years. And then all of a sudden you read it and you say, how did I miss that? It just shows the miracle of the Word of God and how it comes alive to us, like this scripture we're talking about right now. So God is the one who does it. He's the one who lives in us. And finally, John adds an important note where he says, for yet there was no spirit because Jesus was not yet glorified. That's the last part of the verse. The gift of the Spirit depends on the work of Jesus. And until Jesus was crucified, resurrected, and ascended, and went back to heaven and was glorified, that is why 10 days later, afterwards, he sent the Holy Spirit. Because it required Jesus to be fulfilling that, where he forgave all the sins of the world and he ascended back to the Father, who is in the Holy of Holies in heaven. And Jesus must be glorified, and then the Holy Spirit was able to be given. There's a reason why you've heard of Jubilee, that's 50, and that it's a time of celebration. We have everything to celebrate right now, because if you even take a moment to think about that, you have three entities of the God family living inside you. How would we ever be depressed? When you think about it, as long as whenever you get depressed, all you got to do is just say, God, help me to keep my mind focused on what you've told me, which is true. You've given me everything. And not only does he give us the Holy Spirit, which is the down payment, he's going to pay off the house, not just the down payment. The whole house is when he gives you a body to go with it. And that body is going to be rising in the air to meet Jesus Christ on the day of the Lord. And so there's just so much to be thankful for. And we just need to remember this priceless scripture we're reading here. Come to me and drink. You know, out of your innermost being shall flow rivers of living water. That's God. God coming out of you, flowing out of you, because he's the one that's doing it all. Let's give him all the praise and thanks. Father, we just thank you so very much for this day that you have privileged us to have you living in us, not just with us, but in us, so that everything can be done by you and through you. And so, God, we just want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts for your grace and your generosity, your love. You are everything to us, and we just want to thank you forever. And, Father, just open our eyes to see exactly what you want us to do so that we can help those who are brokenhearted and to be an encouragement to those who feel no hope. Use us for your glory, and, Father, we want to give you all the glory in the process, and all the praise goes to you, Father, in the precious name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.